over here in the book of Mark, chapter 5. And behold, there come one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she'll live. That's the last thing Jairus said. And Jesus went with him. My, he's easy, isn't he? Okay, I'll go with him. Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. A certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, here it is, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, immediately, the fountain of her blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Immediately, it dried up, and then she felt it. So she believed it first. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power, immediately knowing in himself that power or anointing had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto him, You see the multitude thronging you and say, Who touched me? And he looked around about her to see that had done this thing. The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Now, that's how we know that all of this that had happened to her, because she told him. So now Jairus has a problem. What's he going to do? She lies at the point of death. So Jesus is standing there listening to her to tell about all these physicians and that she'd had this all these years. Nothing better, but rather grew worse. So she must have forgiven the physicians, because faith won't work in an unforgiving heart. So Jairus is just standing there listening to all this. The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of that plague. Now, not only she was made whole, so that means that all that she had, she evidently was a woman of means. She spent a lot of money on physicians. Didn't get any better, just got worse. How long? 12 years. So figure out how old Jesus was when this started. He wasn't even in the ministry yet. The woman that was bowed over for 18 years. That started before Jesus was in the ministry. But the devil did it. Well, the thing of it is, the leader of that synagogue could have ministered to her over 18 years, but he wouldn't do it. And he got mad at Jesus because he did. Because it is all, it's in the covenant book. The healing for all of these things is in that Bible. But they were so focused on the law instead of the blessing. It already said, I'll take sickness from the midst of you. Can you see that? Well, there's a whole lot of Christians that are doing the same thing today, that are hung up on the curse instead of the blessing. But here we are. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, your daughter's dead. So the death messenger came. Why troublest thou the master anymore? Soon as Jesus heard what was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue. Now notice what he did where death was concerned. In Luke, he said, fear not, or stop the fear. Believe only, she'll live. Don't be afraid, only believe. Jairus didn't say anything. He suffered no man to follow me except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. He came into the house of the ruler of the synagogue, seeth the tumult, them that wept and wailed greatly. When he came in, he said to them, now, Jesus is speaking by faith. Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleeps. They laughed him to scorn, but when he had put them all out, he had to get all of that. He had to get those grieving spirits out of that room. He removed them. And they probably were fussing about it when he did. You can just hear, you know, I mean, the mother-in-law and dad-in-laws, or I mean, they're in there. Then can't you just imagine? I told you not to marry this guy. Now he's running around with this heretic preacher. But that didn't last all that long. They laughed him to scorn. He put them all out, except the mother and the dad, and entered in where that little girl was lying. And she's lying there dead. He took her by the hand. Well, he did just exactly what Jairus said to put your hand on her and she'll live. So he did that. He just took her by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumma. He said to her, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto you, arise. And immediately the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment, and he charged them greatly that no man should know it, and commanded that something be given her to eat. Well, what do you mean, no man to know it? That goes in that same line of go show yourself to the priest. Well, of course they're going to know it. She's walking out of there alive. That whole family's going to know it. So what's the deal here? You give God the credit for it. Don't you even bring me up. For it's the Father within me, he did that. I didn't do it. Don't talk about what I did or what I said. He wasn't talking about don't tell anybody she's alive. I mean, that's senseless. They see that. But he's saying, don't go describing all this. Just give the Lord a credit for it. This is the leader of the synagogue. And Jesus is thinking, she's going to be going to synagogue with you. And you go into all of this and tell them that I did it. Now they're going to get mad and want to throw you out. But you didn't have to tell anybody. He didn't tell that little girl not to tell anybody. And she's going to go out of there and she's going to tell everybody she can think of. You know what? I was dead. I mean, I saw angels and I saw paradise. And this man spoke to me and I woke up. Now, she grew up. We get to heaven. I want to know what that woman's name is with the issue of blood. I want to know this little girl. But, hey, we'll leave here and we'll only be gone for 7 years. Then we come back. And we'll be here 1,000 years in the millennial reign, the glorified ones. And we'll have all kinds of conversations and plenty of time to do it because she's one of the glorified ones. And the woman that used to have an issue of blood and the woman that used to be bowed over. Oh, glory to God. I said glory to God. Glory be to Jesus. Now, Brother Hagin used to say, plug in with faith. Make an effort. That's what the Lord told Brother Hagin when he was paralyzed. Been on that bed for months and months. 19 months. And he stayed in Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, and 25. And the Lord told him in his spirit, he said, there's power in this room. But you have to find, I can see an outlet over there on that wall. But the power is dormant. Why? There's nothing plugged into it. And there's enough power in this room if you plug into it to heal everybody in the room, raise all the dead in town. Amen?
Amen.
So stand to your feet, please. We were in Peru. I was preaching right down these same lines. And we were in a large arena there. And right next to that arena, there's a large hospital. Now, I didn't know it. I was unaware of it at the time. I was preaching right down the same lines. Stanley Black was interpreting for me. He and I have been together many years. And we knew there was an unusual anointing in there. A lot of people were healed. A woman came back the next day and gave her testimony. She was next door in the doctor's office. She had cancer of the throat. He's examining her and she said, I'm on fire. I'm on fire, I tell you. And she just started turning red all over. She said, I am on fire. It's frightened that doctor. He didn't know what to think about it. And she said, I'm burning up. She just got up and left. Scared her. Went home. Then the next day, she realized she's healed. She went back to the doctor, no more cancer. She came there, she left. Well, the next day, we were having a service, and she heard what was going on. And so she just walked in there. And she said, this is the same thing I had happened to me yesterday. So she came in there and got in touch with the prayer workers. She got born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen. The glory fell, and it was over there the same as in here. It's right there where you are, just the same as it is in here. But you have to plug in. You have to keep the switch of faith turned on. Stand up on the inside. That's right. I heard that and learned that from Oral Roberts. In the invalid room my first time, I'd been studying on the power and authority of the name of Jesus. That's what I was preaching in Jamaica when a young woman was raised from the dead there. And this was my first day in the invalid room. And Colin Steele, who was manager of all the campaigns, the tent, everything, everything. He came to me and he said, Kenneth, he said, now, I want you to help the Reverend in the invalid room. Because he said, now, you know, you're a grown man, you're 30 years old, and I can see he likes to have somebody help him in there. But I can take people that I need somewhere else, you go in there. He said, they said you'll have about 5 to 7 minutes. My job was to go over what he just preached and then go over the points. And that was one of them. And if you can't stand up on the inside. Do something, move something. So you're going to release your faith this morning. I'm going to release my faith this morning. I want you to raise your hands and close your eyes and say these things with boldness. The gospel that I have heard is the power of God unto my salvation. I confess Jesus Christ as Lord over my life. Spirit and soul and body. I receive the power of God to make me sound, whole, delivered, saved, healed. Now, I act on the Word of God and receive the power of God. Sickness, disease, pain, I resist you in the name of Jesus. Sickness, weakness, and pain, you are not the will of God. I enforce the Word of God on you. I will not tolerate you in my life. Leave my presence. I will never allow you back. My days of sickness and disease are over. I am the saved. I am the healed. The power of sickness has been broken over my life. Jesus bore my sickness. He bore my weakness and pain. I am forever free. Sickness shall no longer lord it over me. Sin shall no longer lord it over me. Fear shall no longer lord it over me. I have been redeemed from the curse of... Wait a minute. I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. I proclaim my freedom. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Today.
Today.
The gospel.
The gospel.
Is the power of God.
Is the power of God.
To me unto salvation.
To me unto salvation.
I receive the gospel.
I receive the gospel.
I act on the gospel.
I act on the gospel.
I am made whole.
I am made whole.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
So act, praise, move, see. Hear. Straighten up. Be delivered.
Be free.
Be free.
Be sound.
Be sound. Do things you couldn't do. Now this is me. I take authority over every sickness and every disease. I take authority over every demon of sickness, all the power of the devil everywhere in this room and everywhere in the sound of my voice. You be made whole. You be made well. I declare you healed. I declare you whole. I declare the pain gone out of your body. I declare every sickness and disease from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. I declare that you're healed from bronchitis. I declare that you're healed.
This is my beautiful wife, Brittany, and she's from Dallas originally, and I'm Lyle Weaver from South Africa. So I've been a partner with KCM for about 18 years. I remember discovering Brother Copeland on TBN back in South Africa. It was around about 2004, and I wasn't living for the Lord by any means, but for some reason I got drawn to this guy with a Texan accent on TBN. And every day before I'd go to university, I would put TBN on. Brother Copeland's teaching on love at the time. For the very first time in my life, I heard that God loved me. I came from a background where we had different people had different views about God, that if you do something, God's going to strike you or God's going to do this. And it was very legalistic, and hence me not wanting to be a follower of Jesus at the time. And when I started hearing that God loved me, even though I was living not for the Lord at the time, it just started to do something on the inside of me. It's like the seeds of love was planted on the inside of me, which eventually got cultivated to me giving my heart to Jesus. Maybe I can end up working at the South African office because I believe in the vision of the ministry. I know the lives that it's impacted, including my own life, and I thought this would be a great place to work at. Eventually moved over to the States, went to Rhema, attended Bible school, met my beautiful wife. We got married, but we lived about 2 hours away from the ministry. And I recall seeing a job on the website, and I was like, I'm legally allowed to work now. Let's try this. And I applied for the job, but it just wasn't the right time. And then one day, Brittany said, you should check KCM's website out. And I was like, nah, it's all good. I'm good. And she said it again, but then it just bore witness with me that I needed to check it out. And the job that I had applied for was still there. And I was like, wow, the Lord kept this for me. I had an interview and had a second interview and got the job. This is going on for 3 years now. I've been at the ministry and it's been a blessing, not only to my life, but to Brittany's life too and our kids, because we all are on the KCM campus. Kids attend the Children Learning Center. Brittany works at KCM too, so it's great to be able to take that short commute, but also to work at a place that's impacting so many lives. The power in partnership, like we see all that this ministry gets to do, and it's cool. Yes, we work at KCM, but we are partners financially too, that our seed enables the ministry to go and to do. And yes, while we are not the source, God speaks to us and allows us to sow into the ministry. And Brother Copeland, leadership goes where God wants them to go. And just like Brittany said, the souls that have come into the kingdom of God because this ministry, and we get to play a part in that. And then we get to spend eternity with those people, because I once was one of those people. Mm. I didn't know about this. I just thought of this religious God until I heard KCM, and it's because of faithful partners that were sowing into the ministry, which allowed them to be on TBN that day, that allowed me to watch, and in turn it was just a ripple effect, and now we are working here, we've got our family here. This ministry is sending the word out 24 hours a day all around the world, that it might be somebody just like me tuning in, watching. It might be your son or your daughter who might not know Jesus at the moment. They might be in a motel room and busy doing something, and they stumble across the Victory Channel, or they stumble across the BVOV, and this guy from Texas speaks, and it just draws on them just to be engaged, and they end up giving their lives to Jesus. So whether it's 50 cents, whether it's a dollar, whether it's 10,000, we don't differentiate when it comes to that. It's just, what has God told you to do? And the impact of that seed has an eternal effect.
I'm Larry Warren, and every Friday is Offering Day on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Our foundation scripture is Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. As you sow into KCM, you are making a way for the word to be preached and shared with others who can also receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior and live a victorious life of faith. The word of the Lord came to Brother Copeland in 1967 to preach this uncompromised word of faith from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle on every available voice. Listen, partners, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland thank you for your faithful giving and support. Because of you and the faithfulness of Jesus, hundreds of millions of people have heard the gospel and received Jesus as their Lord. You have a part in every soul that has been saved through this ministry and our many ministry outreaches. You are also a part of every broadcast, magazine, product, social media posts, and every event that delivers the word of God. We believe for you to reap a mighty harvest from the seeds you have sown. So let me pray over your offering today. Father, you promised Abraham that in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed, and we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to Christ. And from this place and under this anointing, by this promise before all of heaven and earth and before all of the angels, I pronounce the blessings over this offering to the overflow. In Jesus' name, amen. If you missed any of the broadcasts this week, you can watch them free on KCM.org or KCM's Roku channel. And remember to download the broadcast study notes for this week. They include all of Brother Copeland's teaching points and scriptures that he covered during this healing week. You can use these notes for your personal Bible study or to teach a small group at your church. Download them free on kcm.org/notes. I want to encourage you to go to church this weekend. Come together with other believers in church as you praise and worship the Lord. Next week, join Pastors George and Terry Pearson for a BVOV special, teaching on freedom from fear. This is Brother Larry reminding you that God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Find out more about Kenneth Copeland Ministries and how we can help you grow in faith. Visit our website, kcm.org.uk.